The Supreme Court has agreed to hear a case next term, testing whether it is cruel and unusual punishment to execute the retarded. 12 years ago, the High Court refused to ban such executions, saying there was no national consensus on the issue. But then only 2 states barred the death penalty for the retarded, and now 13 do. But even back in 1989, when the court decided against a ban, it said that the jury in the case before it had not been properly instructed to consider retardation as a mitigating factor in determining punishment. Today, that same case is before the court for a second time. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
Johnny Paul Penry has the body of a man, a strong, muscular man, and the mind of a boy. The courts have said he has the mental age of a 7-year-old, but he committed a murder with deliberation and planning. He's been both victim and victimizer, the victim of the cruelest kind of child abuse, and the rapist and killer of a lovely young woman. The murder he committed occurred in 1979 when Penry was 23 and out of prison on parole for rape. He'd seen Pamela Carpenter when delivering a stove to her home and returned a few weeks later when he knew her husband was not there. Pam Carpenter tried to fight him off, grabbing a scissors to stab him in the back, but he beat her into submission. A reading of Penry's confession tells what happened at the end of the rape.
After I got through, I went over and got the scissors by the kitchen door. I came back and sat on her stomach. I told her that I was going to kill her and that I hated to, but that I thought she would squeal on me. I raised the scissors back over my head and stabbed her in the chest.
Police quickly found Penry, arrested him, and he confessed. He'd murdered not just any fine citizen of Livingston, Texas. He had murdered a member of one of its most prestigious families. Pam's father was a deacon in the Baptist Church. Her 3 brothers were local football stars, and one of them, Mark Mosley, was a star of the NFL, later to be named Most Valuable Player of the Year. In East Texas, where football is king, Pamela Mosley Carpenter was a princess. Johnny Penry's trial was moved to another county to avoid prejudice. He was convicted and sentenced to die. But 9 years later, a closely divided Supreme Court would invalidate that death sentence and order a new sentencing proceeding on the grounds that the jury that sentenced Penry was not given the instructions or the information necessary to weigh the mitigating circumstances in the case as to whether he was fully responsible for his crime. The jury was told only to determine whether Penry acted deliberately, without provocation, and whether he would be a continuing danger to society. If the answer to all those questions was yes, the jury was to impose the death penalty, and it did. But the U.S. Supreme Court, in an opinion written by Justice Sandra Day O'Connor 12 years ago, said that those instructions did not give the jury the guidance it needed to weigh mitigating factors such as mental retardation. The school and medical records of Penry's life established that he is retarded. In early and later IQ tests, he scored well below the accepted norm, and Justice O'Connor described him as having the intelligence of a 7-year-old. Doctors are not sure whether Penry was born retarded or suffered early brain damage from a blow to the head, but medical records, as well as testimony, established that he was brutally abused by his mother. Billy Johnson lived next door to the Penrys in Baycliff when the boy was about 2.
And he would scream such terrified screams. I knew there was something the matter.
Finally, Mrs. Johnson and another neighbor, Betty Olney, went to the Penry house and demanded to see the child. When Betty Olney picked up the baby and unbuttoned the long woolen underwear that he was wearing on that hot July day, she was appalled at what she saw.
The poor little boy was eat up with scratch marks. You would not believe some that were still bleeding. And the burn marks on that child were unreal. That boy remembers what his mama did to him. And he's not telling you no lies when he talks about the marks and the abuse that he got.
Johnny Penry says that for most of his childhood, his mother kept him locked in a room, forced him to eat his own feces and drink his own urine.
And she gouged her fingers in my eyes. Picked me up and choked me, then threw me down on the floor and told me that she loved me.
All of that was put before the jury in Penry's second trial, but the state had not yet changed the law to comply with the Supreme Court's decision, and the instructions to the jury were, at best, murky. Assistant District Attorney Robert Lee Hahn.
I guess to some people they may seem somewhat confusing in the way they're crafted, but I think you need to keep in mind it was explained to the jury what it meant.
Once again, the jury was told that to determine the question of life or death, it would have to answer 3 questions. Did the defendant act deliberately, without provocation, and would he be a continuing danger to society if allowed to live? And once again, the jury was told that only if it answered no to one of those questions could Penry avoid the death penalty. This time, though, the judge also instructed the jury to consider any mitigating evidence on culpability in answering those questions. And once again, within hours, the jury sentenced Penry to die. Now Penry's lawyers are back in the Supreme Court telling the justices that the state of Texas didn't follow orders, that the jurors were told in essence that they would have to violate their oaths by wrongly answering one of the questions in order to sentence Penry to life in prison. There is no question, after all, that Johnny Penry acted deliberately, without provocation, and that he is a danger to society. The question, argue his lawyers, is whether someone of his mental capacity is fully culpable, and that question was not put to the jury squarely, separate and apart from the three questions. Penry's lawyers also argue that the trial was tainted because prosecutors used in their summation opinions on dangerousness from a state psychiatric report on Penry that had been done 13 years earlier in an unrelated case. At the time, Penry was being evaluated for competency to stand trial in that unrelated case, and using opinions from that report 13 years later in a capital case, his lawyers argue, violates the Constitution's ban on self-incrimination. Penry's lawyer, Robert Smith.
If it's going to be used against him in that way, you have to give him Miranda warnings and give him an opportunity not to participate and not to go through the process. So it's a Fifth Amendment claim. It's the idea is that it was compelled, effectively compelled, to be a witness against himself.
In the end, though, this case is about the question of justice. The prosecutor in the case, Mr. Hahn, says he does not believe Penry is retarded.
We believe Mr. Penry's main problem is that he is a sociopath. He has a very violent criminal history with several very serious premeditated crimes that would indicate that he has the ability to think, to plan, to act very quickly on his own feet in an effort to avoid apprehension. And I think that really the arguments made about his mental retardation are a little misleading.
At the Texas prison where Penry has lived for the last two decades, though, prison officials seem to have little doubt about his retardation. When his execution was stayed at the last moment earlier this year, Penry's one concern, they said, was whether he would still be able to eat his last meal of a burger and French fries. Pamela Mosley Carpenter's family thinks that Penry is just putting on an act, and as her best friend put it, the Bible says an eye for an eye. Johnny Penry.
If I had a face-to-face contact with her, the way I'm talking to you now, I would tell her that I'm very, very sorry, you know. But I know that ain't gonna change anything.
Betty Olney, one of the women who tried unsuccessfully to save Penry from his mother's abuse 40 years ago, is anguished at the thought that the state, which didn't help him as a child, could now put him to death.
If they put this boy to death, then I will not believe in justice any longer.
But Pam's brother, Mark Mosley, wants justice for his family, most of all for his parents, now in their 70s, and he thinks Penry's execution will do that.
My mom and dad are devout Christians and believe in the Lord, and we're not doing this in a vengeful way, but at the same time, it's going to put closure to it, it's going to end it, and everyone then that's left can go on with their lives.
A decision in the case is expected by the end of the term. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.